You love the Lord your God, and we go through that all the time, right? With all your heart, your intention, the motivation, with all your deep thoughts and meditation, with all of your desires, affections, your suke, your dianoia, in all of your ishkus, all of your determination. And I will love my neighbor as I love myself, right? Okay? Love my neighbor as I love myself. Love, purposeful goodwill. And I go walk around all the time going, well, how do I have purposeful goodwill? When it all came together, it's so obvious because Jesus told us, and it's so simple, anybody could walk in it. Anyway, I went out and I called the guy back, and he immediately started telling me why he called. And I said, I know why you called. I already talked to Jordan, and, you know, not interested. It's time to go home. And so I turned around, and I'm walking back across this, what do you call it, store? This business, to go back into the classroom. And right in the middle of that, I'm thinking to myself, why did I do that? Because after all, I was busy. I had something important, quote unquote, that I was supposed to be involved with. Why would I stop that and go call him? I'm walking, right, back over across the thing to the... And the Spirit of God said, because of love. And I was going, you're going to have to show me something here. Purposeful goodwill. You did, you knew that that person was waiting to talk to you before he could go do what it was that he needed to do. So you took a moment to call him so that he could then go and do what, because he, in other words, I was holding him up. If that were me on the other end, I would want that person to take a second to call me back so I could go on, so I'd be free to go on about my business. You understand? And it was like, wow, I mean, a simple, simple little thing. And it was a revelation to me. I see it more clearly now, what Jesus said. What I did was I loved him as I love myself. That's what I would have wanted to happen to me from that other person. So that's what, oh, wait, isn't that exactly what Jesus said? You do two or four others what you want to be done for you. And again, the clarity of that comes through so easily. And I began, I mean, it's like, I'm still walking across this store, right? This kaleidoscope of things washes through my mind. And I'm thinking, wow, I now understand so much of why I do what I do so often without even really realizing why I was doing it. And now I'm going, huh, I get it. Because I think about that person, and if I were that person, that's what I would want to be done for me. So no brainer, just obey Jesus and do that. And that way, you're good with him and you and them. I like this. I can walk in this. I like simple. I know y'all don't always think that, but I really do. I like simple. You can't be declared righteous, contained in the law, in a system of religious thinking. And then the King James is in the sight of God. And the word therefore that they translate in the sight is simply para. Okay? It's not blepo, it's not harao, you're not seeing at all. I don't know why they do that, okay? Para means close beside or alongside. So it's not in the sight of God, or some translation will say before God. No, you're not before God, you're alongside for the ride. He's right there with you. He knows that this system of religious thinking won't get you where he wants you to go, or he or cause you to be what he wants you to be. And that's evident, Paul said, because, and then he quotes, the just, And again, the word just there, I don't know whether y'all, what y'all think about that word, but the word there is dikaios, and it means righteous. And I think we understand righteous more than we understand just. Righteous means righteousness, the state of him is as how he ought to be. Righteous, right, as opposed to unrighteous, wrong, right? Okay, so it's that simple. The righteous, if you want to be right, you have to live, walk, actually is what it's saying. You walk out faith in your life if you want to be right. So even though, again, going back to the beginning, even though it may seem foolish, even though that little story that I took 3 minutes telling may seem trivial, it's not at all. That's walking out faith, what you see in your mind from the kingdom of God. Let the law, let that religious system pass from me, and let faith, the vision out from God, what you see in the kingdom with your mind, that you then walk in. You speak and act accordingly. That's called believing, right? Okay. Here's the way I saw it. I saw in my mind, I don't know what the inside of the temple, and in this case, it would have been like the first temple. And the first temple was destroyed around 557 BC, right? So I'm not real sure what Solomon's temple actually looked like, but in my mind, that's what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing the high priest going into behind the veil, the Holy of Holies. And behind the veil is the Ark of the Covenant, where the lid, if you will, the cherubim, the mercy seat, sits above the Ark of the Covenant there before God. And the picture of that, once you get familiar with the Hebrew word chesed, covenant loyalty, you see that mercy. Now you understand why they translate that word sometimes, that Hebrew word chesed, they translate it mercy, because the idea was that the cherubim were sitting over the very presence of the power of the living God. And you didn't go in there except once a year. And you didn't go in there without blood. And it had to be the blood of the heifer,